Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. After Jesus had revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." Father, beloved Father, most amazing of all fathers, Father who loves us beyond all telling, Father who loves us more than anyone else could love us, Father who loves us more than we even love ourselves, bless you, Father, for loving us with such perfection and such humility. Please, Father, open our lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless, evil, or distracting thoughts, feelings, or desires. Please, we're begging you, give us the wisdom and the love to pray now with attention, reverence, and true devotion. Sweet Father, may our prayer be heard in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our beloved Lord. Amen. There's a movie entitled A Quiet Place, which is about a time in which creatures who are sensitive to sound invade the earth. Sound hurts their ears, and they will attack any sound that they hear and eliminate it. It's a time when individuals who learn to live in silence, those who live in a quiet space, in a quiet way, are the ones who survive this time of trial. If we consider that spiritually, to consider those who seek quiet, those who are able to be in silence, are the ones that are able to survive the time of tribulation. And so the world has to adapt during this time. in a time where noise, so much noise, ends up being something that is life-threatening spiritually, is something to consider about this movie. And the movie ends up really focusing on a family, a husband and wife, and they have three children and one on the way. The family is in need of supplies, and at daytime, as long as they remain quiet, as long as they walk quietly and they do not make a sound, they are safe. The family must learn to communicate with each other using sign language to make sure that not even the smallest whisper is uttered. And so they go into a town that's been desolate. It's a ghost town because one of the children is ill and needs medicine. And so they enter into a pharmacy and they're able to find the medicine that the child needs. But the youngest of them finds a toy that makes lights and sounds. And right when he's about to turn it on, the father signs to the young boy, "No, it makes too much noise." And so now it's getting dark and the family begins to walk out barefoot back to their home. The oldest child, being sad that the young brother could not have the toy, she grabs the toy and then they leave. As they're nearing their home, the child turns on the toy and tragedy happens. The daughter never fully recovers from this. She always feels that because of what happened, that her father blames her. And so every time the father tries to communicate, there's always a response of rebellion. There's always a harsh response, a negative response. She always responds from her woundedness. And as we fast forward into the scenes, a sound is made, and it draws attention of all the nearby creatures, and now the family is at risk. Two of the children are trying to run away from one of the creatures and find themselves in a vehicle near death. And the father, who has already been wounded by one of the creatures because he is trying to safeguard his family, can only look on as his children are about to die. And he finally is able to get on his feet, and he looks and his gaze pierces the daughter's eyes, and their gaze lock in the midst of all the chaos and all the violence. Their eyes meet, and he realizes that he must do something to save his children. And he looks at his daughter and he signs to her, "I love you. I have always loved you." And he makes a sound, and once again, tragedy happens and the children are saved. The father shows us the example of true and perfect love. That true love, perfect love, lays down one's life for the other, as Jesus reminded us when he spoke to his disciples and said, "No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend." And he speaks about the greatest commandment, which is to love God with all our heart, mind, body, strength, and being, and to love one another as Christ has loved us. He has shown us true love. He has shown us perfect love. He has shown us perfect love. To lay down one's life doesn't always mean that we have to lose our life. It doesn't always mean death, a physical death, that someone has to die in order to prove our love to someone else, in order to show our love to someone else, in order that someone may know that we love them. To lay down our life just simply means that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow in the example of Jesus, who shows us true and perfect love. That to lay down our life for someone means that we put their needs above our needs. Jesus shows us what true love is. True love is to be last, least, the smallest among all of us. Remember, he says to us that to these, such as these, the kingdom of God belongs to. That those who are least, those who are smallest, those who are last, those who are meek and humble of heart, as Jesus is, that those are the ones that the kingdom of God belong to. That to deny ourselves is to show true love to someone else. To be able to say, not my needs, not my will, not my desire, not my way, but Jesus' way, Jesus' desire, Jesus' will, which is simply the commandment to love and love always, and to love truly and perfectly. And this is the lesson that Jesus shows us through the interaction of Saint Peter, that Peter loved Jesus. He loved Jesus before the crucifixion. He loved Jesus so much that he really believed in his heart that he would lay down his life for Jesus. That he, when he said, "Lord, I will go and die with you." And Jesus said, "Tonight, this night, you will deny me three times. You will tell people you do not know me. I don't know that man." It doesn't mean that Peter didn't love Jesus, that he didn't love him in denying him and rejecting him. He did love him, but fear, self-centeredness, when we're self-absorbed, when we're worried about our own needs, we forget the needs of the other. We forget that Jesus told him, "Spend some time with me, pray with me, love me as I love you, as I spend time with you, as I pray for you, as I pray with you." That when we love, we have to understand how we respond to the other person. That we live out of our woundedness. That all our wounds, we try to protect ourselves. And it's not that we don't love the other person. It's not that we don't love our spouse and our children and our family and our friends. That's not it at all. We do love, but our love is imperfect. Our love is not always true, as Jesus' love is true and perfect for us. That it's always about us and never about Jesus. He lays down everything in order for him to be last and us to be first. That we learned through our families. We learn through those in our surroundings how to love. But the people who teach us how to love, unfortunately, teach us how to love imperfectly. That we are instructed to make things about us. That no one's more important than us. That you are the most important person on the face of the earth. That we are told that we are first, that we are fastest, that we are the best, that we are to be number one at everything. We are told that in order to be perfect, we cannot make any mistakes. That in order to be perfect, it's okay to lie and to cheat and to disguise what truly is happening. That it's okay to deceive someone else because we love them so much and we don't want to hurt them. So we don't tell them the truth. Instead, we tell them a lie. Perfect love reminds us of the way, the truth, and the life, and the way that Jesus lives out love. That he humbles himself to the point of death on the cross. That Jesus remains silent, even in the midst when they're lying about him and persecuting him and yelling and screaming at him. That Jesus remains silent because he knows the truth. And the truth is that he is innocent and doesn't have to defend himself. That's humility. That even people look at him and accuse him falsely. Jesus says, I know the truth, that the Father loves me. And love is this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, meaning to deny myself, not have to defend myself, and allow God to do that for us. And he says, I am the life. The life that he gives us is a life of sacrificial love, a love that is always for the other person. It is a beautiful love. It is a perfect love. It is a love that tells us that love is patient. Love is kind. Love is joyful. Love is always for the other person. Love is not angry. Love is not hateful. Love is not unforgiving. Love is forgiveness. When Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He's asking Peter to be him in the world. That as Jesus is about to return to the Father, Jesus is reminding Peter of what truly constitutes love. That love means to care for one another, to feed and nourish one another with our prayers, our kindness, our words of encouragement. Jesus asks every single one of us, do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you truly love me? May we all say with all our heart, mind, body, strength, and being, yes, Lord. You know everything, Lord. You know that I love you. And Jesus will say to us, "Then love one another as I have loved you."